Welcome to The Brand Manual, a podcast exploring brand identity and messaging. We talk to business pros who have quite a bit to say about how good strategy fuels their brands. We have a good time, we learn so much from our guests, and we hope you do too. We're glad you found us. Today our guest is Bob Jordan. He's a devoted multi-generational family builder in his personal life. He's a promoter of all things Texas A&M University, including his involvement with the Mays Business School and the Association of Former Students. And he spent his professional career at Southwest Airlines, where he is Executive VP of Corporate Services. He's a big believer in brand authenticity and transparency, and he's our guest today on The Brand Manual.
Bob Jordan, thanks for being here today. We're so excited to have you on. We know that your time is extremely valuable, but man, we are just pumped to get to talk to you.
That is terrific. Let's talk.
You're a man of many talents, many hats. You're involved in a lot of things. You're connected to Texas A&M University, which we are deeply connected as well. So give people just a couple of minutes of who you are, what you're about.
Yeah, you bet. I'll start with Southwest. So I've been at Southwest about 31 years. It's a long time. People tend to come to Southwest Airlines and stay, which is very unusual, especially today. I started as a programmer. We had about 18 people in technology at the time. We've got thousands now. But over the years, I've worked in finance and procurement, commercial, helped put together our first commercial organization here at Southwest, strategy planning, FP&A, facilities, airports, a whole variety of spots. So right now, I'm in a job that is EVP Corporate Services, and people always ask me, what the heck does that mean?
Right.
So there's actually a real job behind the generic title. So it's basically, we're kind of chunked into thirds. We've got the operation, which is the vast majority of our people. We have commercial, which is the website and then marketing, those traditional, you know, what we price, what we fly. And then we kind of have the everything else and a few more things, but that includes our culture, hiring, what we call the people department versus traditional HR, communications, PR, a whole variety of things that support the organization. So I would tell you I'm in a support function right now. But yeah, and other than Southwest, so I'm totally spoiled, which is I've spent most of my time here and don't know any better. And every time somebody comes in, I hear horror stories about working for companies that aren't as culture-centric at Southwest Airlines. But other than that, yeah, I've got a big tie to Texas A&M. A lot of our family went there. My wife, our two kids, their spouses. My grandson is class of 40. He doesn't know it yet, but he's class of 40. Four nieces and nephews, my brother-in-law, and my son-in-law's entire family. So we got a lot of connect A&M. And right now, we're spending most of our time working with Mays, which is a little less these days, and working a whole lot with the Association of Former Students on their board. It's just the university is a terrific place. I really do feel like they seek to serve our students, and I really feel like the association seeks to do that as well. And they look equally across current students, former students, and our future students. We're active there, and then outside of those couple of things, I think my number one focus in life is my family. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing more important than my family. So I try to give as much time as I can there as well.
That's fantastic.
That's me in a nutshell.
That's a big nutshell, man. I like it. You have aligned yourself with two organizations that are both world renowned for their culture. I mean, Texas A&M. Yep. Is a culture in and of itself.
High integrity. Yeah, a lot of integrity.
Yep. Yeah. It's kind of impressive.
Yeah, the core values, while they're not articulated the same way, I would tell you the core values of Southwest and the core values of A&M are really similar. So, mm-hmm. Again, we don't use the same words, but if you know what they are at the university, if you come to Southwest, we talk a lot about work hard. We call it the warrior spirit, the golden rule. Treat people the way you'd like to be treated. You don't hear a lot of companies talking about the golden rule these days. And then fun-loving attitude, which is basically, I would say that means don't take yourself too seriously. It's not all about you.
Right.
And obviously do everything you do with excellence. And I think that's very, very similar to the core values of the university.
That's true. That's very true.
So, Bob, I am familiar, because I grew up in Texas, I'm familiar with sort of the mythos that surrounds Southwest Airlines, and I've had the friends of ours. Yeah, yeah.
That was incredibly impressive.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna write that down. I'm gonna use it.
Yeah, it. You know, I had friends who worked for you guys, and when I did research, all it did was confirm actually what I had already known about Southwest Airlines. So there are some interesting things that I came across. First, you guys have the highest brand intimacy quotient in the industry. So that, yep, for most people may not be aware of what that is, but that's basically that emotional connection to the brand. So you guys are higher by multiple percentage points than anybody else that's even close to you. You're transparent and human, so that seems to be that connecting piece. And I also found out that somebody at Southwest reported in 2016 that you guys have never laid off a single employee in an industry known for mass layoffs.
Right.
So this is pretty phenomenal. So I can understand why you stayed put for so long.
Well, and it's, yeah, that it's, you know, some of this is comparison. So the airline industry is not known as an industry with high NPS scores or you know, those kinds of things. But but the industry is trending a lot better. So we always watch our competition. But no, we have Apple and Google like NPS scores. We look at those every day, and our NPS scores are in the the mid 60s. So, which is really tough to do.
Right.
But it doesn't come, it comes through something, which is it comes through the way you treat your customers. Herb always said that if you treat your employees right, they'll treat your customers right, and they'll treat your shareholders right. And while that's not, it's not completely exact, we focus on making sure that we take care of everybody, our employees and our customers, and you make a personal connection. So, we focus a lot on the word hospitality, which basically just means make people feel welcome.
That's right.
and important and greeted. And it's just the basics. And it's amazing how often we miss the basics. You talked about, you've never laid off anybody, and we have not. It was a terrible time, and now it's many years ago now, but when 9/11 hit, that was a huge crisis, obviously, for our country and for the airline industry, because we suddenly couldn't fly our aircraft. So the aircraft were used in the attack, and then we literally had to put them on the ground, and we did not know when we would be able to fly them again. We ultimately were able to fly again in about 4 days when we got the new security rules, but we didn't know. So Herb called everybody, our leadership got together, and we talked about, well, what are we going to do? And this is on that morning.
Wow.
And we talked about things like, we're going to preserve cash, we're going to take care of our people. But at the end, we decided the message couldn't be, we'll never have to lay anybody off, because you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But Herb and our leadership said, it'll be the last thing we do.
That's
and
great.
Weeks following, the other airlines laid off almost 200,000 people.
Wow.
So 9/11 became an excuse, basically became an excuse to get rid of people that they wanted to do anyways, in many cases. And at Southwest, that became the last thing that we would do.
Yeah.
So it just tells you something about the airline.
Yeah, it's just
amazing. And that still holds true today. That's the way we think about treating our people today.
And the experience, air travel, one of my favorite things to do in an airport is actually to just watch people, we all people watch, but actually sitting in an aisle seat and just looking at faces coming up and down the aisles, for an airline to make that as comfortable an experience as possible is a big deal, because the look of misery on a young family's face with children, trying to squeeze in and throw things in overhead baggage bins, that is an unbelievably challenging few square feet to actually make a personal, pleasant kind of moment.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how you guys train that into your people.
And you're right. Travel's stressful, and we know that. And it's stressful for a lot of reasons. You got a lot of stuff. You got to get through security. You're typically running. A lot of people are either they don't fly a lot, or in a lot of cases they've never flown before, so they don't know what to expect. And you're right. That can be looked at, because we fly so many people a day. So we fly about 4,000 flights a day. So over 500,000 people a day. it's easy for that to become a transaction.
Yes.
Everybody, you know, there's so much to do in the 30 or 40 minutes of turning an aircraft. Get you off, get you back on, get your seat, put your bags up. And our people are trained to focus on our customers as human beings.
Yeah.
To interact with them in a way that provides hospitality, warmth, welcoming again. And to take that, I mean, a lot of times it's literally the small things. Right. You know, the big things are helping you with the bag. The small thing is just smile at somebody. That's make right. eye contact. Acknowledge that somebody is human. Acknowledge that they have a need. And we drill that into our folks over and over and over because it's the most important thing. And what's funny is the most stressful part of the journey, typically, like getting on and off the aircraft, finding your seat, that is where we have our highest NPS scores.
Wow.
Our highest NPS scores occur in the cabin with the flight attendants.
That is, wow. That's amazing.
I would say
it's kept your nose above water in the cultural message, the cultural atmosphere right now. I mean,
when everybody has a cell phone and they're videotaping everything, yep. there's like no yeah. screw ups, you know, that's.
Yeah. And I mean, it is a common, the airline industry is a common butt of a joke. I mean, it is an easy go-to yep. on Twitter, right? But never Southwest.
That's right.
Like it is honestly, I saw a tweet yesterday. I think it was John Acuff who said, I normally fly Southwest, but today I'm flying, and I won't say the other competitor, but y'all pray for me. It was
not that bad.
Prayers aren't needed.
Yeah.
But I think we do agonize over it. It's amazing. You would be amazed at the number of things that will come to our CEO staff to talk about.
I bet.
That might be a small, you might think it are a small thing, but what we look at, because again, it's the small things. And when we stumble, you know, we mm-hmm. make our mistakes. I think the forgiveness and all that's a couple of things. I think you said at the beginning, we strive to be fair and honest and transparent, especially transparent.
Yeah.
If you're doing something, be clear about why you're doing it. If you make a mistake, own up to your mistake. So I think there's just because of that and the way we treated people in the past, we banked a lot of goodwill over time.
Yes.
And a lot of things come down to what somebody assumes your intent is. And I think because of all that, people, even when we mess up, I think generally people assume that our intent is good.
Yeah.
And now you don't want to waste that. Right, you need to keep that's that goodwill, right. But I think we've spent years building that up.
Well, the integrity and the transparency part that is connected to those larger things that I know are true about Southwest Airlines because of so many years just growing. I mean, I'm middle aged and Texan. My question to you is how are you communicating and connecting with the youngest generation who doesn't have that backlog of information, right? Who doesn't, the brand equity yep. isn't as massive for somebody who's 21 years old.
So, I mean, so Gen Z kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, we make jokes in our office all the time because we work with young people, and it's like Tom Landry, they don't know that name. We yep. had to educate them on who Nolan Ryan was, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding. But that's where we are. So how are you guys looking at translating that into to the youngest generations?
You know, I think it's the same thing. We're finding, and maybe it's employee side and customer side. On the customer side, I think what we're finding is actually I think it works to our benefit because younger consumers are more than ever focused on dealing with brands that they can understand, that they align with, that values align with, that they feel like have integrity. I mean, if you want to Millennial, Gen Z, Gen X, I'm not sure I completely understand all the age differences.
Right.
But if you want to offend somebody, be fake, be right. fraud as a brand. And you're not going to find that here. Again, we make our mistakes, but the brand, we're very clear on what the brand stands for, and we don't try to be something we're not. On the employee side, we find the same thing. And so we spend an inordinate amount of time communicating with our employees, trying to make sure it's clear why we do things, what we're doing, and relating to people. It would be brand inconsistent to treat your customers one way and then treat your employees in a different way.
That's right.
We have a group that's about 20 feet from me. We have a group, what we call ICC, that's internal customer care. And their job is to constantly look for what do our employees need. Somebody in an employee's family is going through a difficult medical situation. Somebody's lost a relative. Somebody has a need, and they're sending them cards. They're on the phone with them, asking them what they need. They're looking after them financially. And again, you're just not going to find that. But it's the internal translation of the same care that you would take your customers through.
The consistency. Outward focus, inward focus. That's pretty amazing.
That, yeah. Yep, exactly.
The brand consistency.
Yeah, you've got to be consistent.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I think there's been a number of studies. Being this close to the university, I get to hear all of the recent studies. But the number one thing that Gen Z in particular cares about is authenticity. They can sniff out a fake like that.
Yep.
So I think that's a beautiful thing that Southwest has cultivated. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your involvement with the university.
Well, the A&M is really important to us. So not just because my wife and I went there and our kids went there, but because of what they stand for and the type of students that they produce. I'm amazed. We get to work with a lot of students through the association and then through some scholarships and things that we put together. And the quality of young men and women at the university is incredible. I always laugh. I'm really glad I went to school when I did, because not only would I not get my major, I wouldn't get in today.
So what class year are you?
I was supposed to be 82 and I'm 85.
Okay.
Played out, worked. Back and forth. My wife and I both put ourselves to school, but so I always have to add that disclaimer. My ring is 85.
Okay.
And it is ring day today. I hope you know that.
That's true.
Yeah.
And we noticed more traffic. So yes.
Oh, I had a. this is the largest ring day we've ever had today, and the university put out a stat today: 4,300 total Aggie rings this year.
Right. My memory, and I probably got it wrong, is I think that's today.
That's today.
My memory is A&M, we do something like 15,000, 17,000 rings a year. Wow. I think the second closest is Clemson, and it's about 1,500.
Amazing.
Gosh.
So the second closest A&M is about a tenth of what we do in a year. So it tells
Not
you something.
Close. Not even close.
It does explain the traffic. Yeah.
You need to go work ring day. It's a blast because you give somebody the ring and you forget how excited people are. I've had people nearly pass out on me to put their ring on.
Wow.
Their hands are shaking so bad that they can't get the ring on their finger because their hands are shaking.
That's cool.
And what's really cool is when you see somebody that's obviously first generation college student and they've got their whole family with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the first kid to graduate from college into their family, and they've got 15 or 20 family members there to see them get their ring. It's really something. But anyways, back to your question. No, A&M is an important part of our lives. My wife and I both got through school by the grace of others. So we had a lot of people help us, and some of that's financial help. A lot of that is advice and counsel. And so we just want to give back as much and as often as we can.
That's fantastic.
I always tell a story. I was working, trying to work full time and go to school full time, and I was working at the Atom Smasher, the cyclotron,
right.
Of all places, and couldn't figure out how to do it. And I went and talked to my boss and said, I just can't. I need to work, but I just don't know how I can work and go to school and make all this work. And he said, I tell you what, you know. We'll work out a schedule for you. You can get your work done off hours. It's just important that you graduate. Mm. And it's one of 100 examples of people that helped us get through school. So we want to give back as often as we can.
That's great.
That's fantastic. So you're doing a lot of work with the association.
Yep.
Can you talk about Spence Park and the renovation? Can you go there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I think the one of the big things that we're working on with the association right now is the renovation of the area that's known as Spence Park. Oddly enough, it's actually not Spence Park. There is no park named Spence. So part of the research was looking
vernacular.
At that. It's just, yeah, everybody calls it that, but that's actually, I don't know what it's called, but is what's interesting is it's the last probably largest central undeveloped area on campus, and in a lot of ways it's the front door to the campus for people that may never make it to A&M. So through football games, you know, ESPN game day, those kinds of things, they see the park.
That's right.
And the tailgate, all that, but that may be the only representation of A&M they'll ever see. And there's opportunity to make it so much better. So a real showcase for the university. We're working on adding a building, actually, for the association. If you go there to Ring Day today, they are out of space.
Yeah, okay.
So we're looking at a building that will help house functions and staff, and then Ring Day. We're actually partnering with the foundation, so they'll actually take some of that space, and partnering with the university, the Board of Regents. But it's in the really, really early stages of development. We're talking about all, you know, everybody's got a long laundry list of things we want in there, you know, access to a Wi-Fi and to tell the story of A&M and maybe a lake and bridges and
lazy river. I heard a lazy river on TechSags, right?
There's a lot in there. Maybe not a lazy river, but it's going to be a tremendous asset to the university when it's all said and done. I'm comfortable with that. We're hoping that we can really get off the ground here early in the spring.
Okay.
And it, you know, construction's going to take a while, but we're just in the really early stages of all this. But it's really exciting, and it's Aggie Park, by the way.
Aggie Park.
Name. Because it's for all Aggies. Yeah, it's not for any one person. It's for all Aggies. So I'm excited about the fact that that it will be called Aggie Park.
That's great.
That's wonderful. Well, I'd appreciate your time on this call. I wanted to know what in 2020, what are you most excited about? You've got so many things going.
You personally or... Or does it matter?
It doesn't really matter.
You know, I
like the personal side of it.
Well, generally, I'm an eternal optimist, so I'm generally always excited about pretty much everything. So
that's great.
Where I am right now, and then next year, obviously. But I think I'm most excited personally about all that's going on at the university, because you know, we just became the largest university in the country. The enrollment this fall is almost 70,000, I believe.
Okay.
And yeah, it's hard to believe. If you've been with the university a long time, it's hard to believe. But the and you don't grow for growth's sake. That's not a good reason. But the university is growing for reasons, and because people want to be there. And I'm excited about the impact A&M can have on others, because it's a tremendous institution, producing wonderful men and women leaders, and the country needs that.
That's right.
We need a society that's led by people with integrity, mm-hmm. that can have discourse and dialogue.
That's right. That's sorely needed today.
A&M is producing people like that in droves.
That's right. That's right.
That's well said.
It's good for me. I really appreciate the time.
Did you see I got a product placement in there?
Good. Diet Coke. They need our help, I'm sure. Yeah.
Just in case you need that.
Yeah, that's
all right, guys. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you so much for your time, thank Bob. You. We really appreciate it.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you.
You too. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Brand Manual Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. We'd be super grateful if you shared. You can find the other episodes on Apple Podcast and Spotify. We'll see you next time on the Brand Manual Podcast.